1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation or behavior, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now I know the rest of the chapter is extremely relevant as well, but it's verse 12 for a few moments. Let no man despise thy youth. Actually, I saved my notes on this in my computer as youth leaders. That's what I filed it under. Youth leaders. Oh, you say that's, we don't accept that where we go. We don't have youth leaders. It's a pity you don't. You can have youth ringleaders. But it would be tremendous if this Pugwash Junction Conference, if some youth left their ringleader status and became a leader in the things of God amongst their peers, to influence for good, to lead by example. Be tremendous if we had youth leaders as a result of this conference. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. A few weeks ago, a home care nurse was into my mother's home, and my brother and I sat at the table, and she was doing an assessment of my mother's remaining functions. She asked a lot of questions and talked about different activities and wondered if would it be helpful if she get out to some meetings with other seniors and got together and played bingo and maybe a card game, whatever she was thinking of, having some interaction with other seniors. And so we told the lady as politely as we could, well, she's been very active in her church. Well, she said, then your church probably has a visitation committee, does it? Oh. She said, most churches here in Charlottetown have a group of people that go there who take some responsibility for visiting the elderly. And they have visitation committees. I said, well, you know, it's sporadic. We try to do the best we can. We visit. But we don't have a visitation committee. And I thought on the way home, man, you mean there are other places that actually have a group of people, and that is one of their responsibilities, to regularly, systematically, on a scheduled basis, on a rotation basis, take turns twice a week on checking in with a senior that goes to their church. And here we are with the truth. With all the basic fundamentals, we come to a conference like this, and yet we don't have a group of Christians that do that. And on the way home, I thought, well, thank God for the assembly that I'm a part of. I love it. But no assembly is so excellent that there's not room for improvement. And I thought, you know, Peter, this really starts with you. It's one thing to point your finger at the local assembly and complain about the assembly, but it's be thou an example of the believers. Did it ever occur to you that you yourself are personally responsible and that you yourself can have a tremendous impact in your local assembly? And just for a few minutes, I want you to think of that responsibility that is yours, that is mine. We'd all like to be in that perfect assembly, wouldn't we? That center of excellence for the things of God. Young man told me that he went to university, and he went to an excellent assembly. I wonder what he meant. Well, he said that assembly changed my life. I was focused on becoming a Christian athlete who would make it big in the Olympics. And as a result of my fellowshipping with a certain assembly, I got rid of my sponsor. He had sponsors. I got rid of my sponsorships. And he said my life made a 180-degree turn. How's your assembly? Oh, it would be lovely to be in just an assembly that was thriving on all cylinders. You know, on Sunday afternoons, the elders meet with the young people and they distribute invitations in the neighborhood. Oh, you say, does that happen? Sure it does, some places. And then the gospel meetings, there's 5 to 10, 15 adults in from the community every Sunday night. Some of them come 10 minutes early just to hear the Christians singing before the meeting starts. Oh, you say singing. Oh, singing has quite an important role to play in the New Testament church if you read the epistles. The prayer meetings. Move the prayer meeting before the gospel meeting out of that little classroom into the biggest room. And the brethren and sisters go down like young and old. Oh, man. You say, I'd love to be a part of that assembly. What is going on in your assembly? Once a month? Well, actually, I was in an assembly that the Christians ate every Sunday together. Brought, loved their roast beef and turkey every Sunday and ate it in the hall together. Wonderful, isn't it? But even once a month? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, you said, love to be a part of an assembly like that. You go to the Bible reading and you see sisters and brethren taking out their pen every once in a while, and they're making notes of what they learned in the Bible reading. Say they actually do that in those midweek Bible studies? People actually take notes? Yeah, some assemblies they do. Younger brethren are asked to take some responsibility, 20 minutes of ministry, on a regular basis, under the guidance of the overseers. But you say, we never get a chance to have a word of ministry. New Sunday school rooms have to be added. Not just a Sunday school, but now on Monday. Monday night comes, they have a community center rented. And they have a Monday school. And the crowds are growing 3 times a year. Parents are invited in for a meal and then for the gospel meeting after. My, you say, that would be wonderful. The elders invite the young folk over quite often to their homes for pizza after a meeting or out to Tim Hortons for coffee. Oh, man, you say, that would be lovely. I'd love to be a part of an assembly like that. Young people, with direction from the overseers, they spend their vacations going to home shows with displays set up, Bibles, texts being given out. Where have you been visiting lately? Well, I have no particular assembly in mind. Just as you go from assembly to assembly, you see these best practices, so to speak. Put them all together. And what a wonderful, thriving testimony of believers that you could have. But where does it start? Individual believers. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou. Get your eyes off the other Christians. Be thou an example of the believers. Young people are looking for excellence. Yeah. I sat in a car with a young man. He was acknowledged in the city to be sort of a leader amongst the youth. But he said, I left the assembly. It was 3 months after he left before anyone actually visited him. But they all said that he had leadership potential. And he said, but I just found that they were coming to meeting. There was nothing going on. They weren't giving out invitations in the community. There was very little gospel activity going on. And I said, do you know how you could change that? You can't change it from outside. If you were back in the assembly and worked with the oversight, and you were an example of the believers. But young people, they are looking for excellence. Excellence. What do they see of it? They are disappointed with mediocrity. And if you were truthful, you were disappointed. And I am disappointed with mediocrity wherever I see it. Half-heartedness, that can be easily detected. We can go through all our routines. We can show up at all our meetings, and so we should. But still not be a thriving assembly. People are disappointed with mediocrity. People are discouraged with negativity. You've been hearing a bit about that. You know, hearing the downside of things day after day. Hearing all the reasons why something cannot be done. Did you ever have something that went to an older brother and said, you know, I just was thinking lately, I would like to try this. What do you think? Ah, we tried it before. Didn't work. Do you think that's uplifting? Do you think that's encouraging? Discouraged with negativity? Or we're not the Christians we used to be? We need encouragement. We need to hear about the Christians that we could become based on the Word of God. Disillusioned by hypocrisy. Do you know, young people can come to meetings and they can hear older people get up and talk about love and forgiveness. But what are they seeing in their homes? Now, we often go to conferences and we hear about internet and television, radios. Do you know something? I've been thinking lately. There's something that's perhaps more damaging than television and internet and radios in our homes. I can't think of anything more damaging in our homes than to be sitting at a kitchen table and to be talking negatively about another brother or sister, or to be talking about things going on in the assembly to young people growing up in that family. I would say that is the most damaging thing in our homes. Bitterness, negativity, feeding on that kind of stuff makes marks. Damages young people for life. Things that they've heard about other Christians that they can never get out of their minds. Evil. Disheartened with complacency. Young people are ready for action. They're energetic. That's not a flaw. God made them that way. So don't think it's a flaw. They're not going to sit home. I saw I was to a retirement of a former retirement dinner the other night of a former person I worked with, and you know what he got? A recliner chair. Definitely not for young people. Maybe okay for you, dear child of God, but God has made young people so they are action-oriented, so that they have energy. And our challenge is, how is that energy to be channeled and corralled for usefulness in the things of God? Young people and older ones alike are looking for excellence. What do they see of excellence in my life? What Christian virtues do they see in our assembly? What excellence does the community see in our testimony? What excellence do younger people see? Paul is writing to Timothy. Yes, he was writing to Philemon on another occasion, but this time he's writing to Timothy. Timothy, be thou an example of... Well, I'm not on the oversight here in Ephesus. I know that there's a danger of false teachers coming in, and I see things that are wrong, but what can I do? I'm not on the oversight. And they're all older than me. Well, there's no record in the scriptures that Timothy ever said that. But sometimes we can lean on excuses. Lean on excuses. Timothy, Paul could say, we want that church in Ephesus to be a center of excellence, a powerhouse for God. I've invested a lot in Ephesus. I worked there for 3 years, day and night, he said, with tears. Now I'm leaving you there. and you may not be on the oversight, and you may not be an older man. He wasn't a teenager either. Don't lean on excuses, Timothy. Don't say I'm too young. No one would ever listen. What's the remedy Paul gives him? He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. An example. If we want Ephesus to grow into a center of excellence in the things of God, to be a healthy, thriving testimony for God, then it starts with you, Timothy. Be thou an example of the believers. Leaning on excuses? Don't do that, Timothy. And then Paul says, you lead by example. Looking for excellence? Leaning on excuses? No. You lead by example, Timothy. Timothy, there are no excuses. Excellence must start with yourself. That's where excellence always begins. Timothy, if you want to see any community of believers thrive and flourish, it starts with you. Whether you're on the oversight or not, it starts with your own condition of heart, Timothy. Really, Paul is saying, Timothy, the potential of a single life, a single life. Timothy could have said, look at all the other people here in this assembly. I'm just one believer. Yes, I've traveled with the great apostle Paul, but I can't fill his shoes. And I'm not an apostle. But he was, he is. What am I among so many? But Timothy, remember you are one. The power, the potential of a single life. The power of an exemplary life. You don't have to be on the oversight to have influence in an assembly. You don't have to be an old gray-haired man or a gray-haired sister or a balding head to have spiritual influence and weight in your local assembly. The power of an exemplary life. Become a role model for other Christians. Fashion your life at Christ-likeness. That your life will speak so loud, that others will have to listen. Sad to say, sometimes we say a lot of words, but the reality is, your life speaks so loud I can't hear what you're saying. Those words are shallow, shallow. An exemplary Christian life has clout. Clout has power. Has influence, dear child of God. Be thou an example of the believers. You say, how? I hear about the potential. I come to the conference, I get all stirred up. And I understand that there is potential in one single life for God. I understand that there is power in an exemplary Christian life. Where does it come from? Paul says, Timothy, it is a product of a disciplined life. It is a product of a disciplined life. What do you mean? Oh, Timothy, there's much more to your life than just coming into the assembly. What are the facets of my life that I need to bring before God and to be conscious of? Many facets, Timothy. In word. In your conversation. In your behavior, in your conduct, Timothy. In your love or in your charity and compassion, Timothy. In spirit, in your courage and in your confidence in God, Timothy. In faith, in your consistency, Timothy. Be thou an example of the believers. In your purity, your character, Timothy. All those areas. How are those areas in my life? In word. How are my words as a young person? The character, the flavor of my talk. You preacher eyes or elder eyes your letters, your emails. Do you know what I mean? You've heard about legalese. You say, well, this is what I would like in the contract, and then you give it to a lawyer, and they put all the legal words in it. They make it legal. Sometimes we can preacherize our conversations. Our letters to a friend can be vastly different than a letter to a preacher. See what I mean? We preacherize, we elderize. We elevate our talk sometimes when we're around other Christians. But Paul says to Timothy, be thou an example of the believers in word. In word. How are your words? Are your sentences peppered? Oh, I know you wouldn't use swear words, but with slang. I know you wouldn't tell raw, dirty jokes, but would you go close? Just to fit in a little bit in the lunchroom. Just something that could be taken one way or the other. If they happen to put a dirty spin on it, then you can sort of soothe your conscience and say, well, I never really meant it to be a... Oh, how are your words? Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. A model. A role model of the believers in your words that come out of your mouth. How are your words? You say, well, I start off well. I meet someone at Tim Hortons for coffee. And I say, I'm not going to talk about another Christian. But you know, when I go up to the counter and get the second cup of coffee, by the time the end of the conversation comes around, I usually end up talking about problems in the assembly or criticizing. How are our words? Timothy, you be an example of the believers in your words, in your conversation. And not just in your conversation, in your conduct. Does your conduct at work draw people to Christ? Oh, you know, it's easy to have wonderful conduct when you come to Pugwash Junction Conference. Put on your proper clothes and sit there with our hymn books and our Bibles. But how is my conduct at work? Slacker. Slacker. Wasn't a great testimony. Managers used to wring their hands in despair and say, what can I do? They say, look, he's an employee. You do whatever you have to do. If the productivity isn't there, you treat him as you would treat any other employee. In your conduct, how is your conduct? Are you an example of the believers in your conduct? How are our habits? Alfred says, be an example of the believers in your daily habits. Daily habits. Timothy, this is hypothetical. There's a young man that wants to come and stay with you there in Ephesus for a couple of weeks. Wants to board with you in the same room, Timothy. I wonder if someone spent a week with you sharing a room, or with me. What spiritual habits would they pick up? Conduct. Be thou an example of the believers in our conduct. In love, in charity. Timothy, everything you do, everything you say has to be characterized by love. Not hardness, not harshness, by love. Don't get bitter in your spirit. Show love, compassion. Oh, you say, but there's people that I happen to click with and others that I don't. I find it easier to love the people that I am on the same wavelength. That's not the love that's talked about here. This is love for the people that you don't click with. That kind of love. How do we measure up today at Pugwash Junction Conference? In our conversation, in our conduct, in our charity. And then it says, in our spirit. In spirit, Timothy. I know it's there in our King James Version, so we'll speak to it. Whatever it means, if it means courage, if it means enthusiasm, zeal. Isn't it lovely to meet a Christian that has enthusiasm and zeal? I met a government employee at a function a couple of weeks ago, and I said, are you still coming in before the rest of the civil servants do? Are you still frustrated that the doors are locked at 4 o'clock in summer afternoons and you can't get back into the office? Oh, I remember Sean in 93. And I thought, man, this fellow doesn't fit the groove of a government, of some of the government employees. He is so eager. He is so committed to the environment that he's here at 7 o'clock in the morning. He comes in at 6 o'clock at night. He wonders why the office closed down at coffee break time. But I met him a couple of weeks ago. Oh, he said, I fitted into the mold. Come at 8, leave at 4. He had zeal. He had spirit. He had enthusiasm for what he was doing. Never lose it. Isn't it sweet to work with somebody, a Christian, who's not negative, and who has zeal and says, it can be done. Why not? Some people are so quick to say, here's all the reasons why it can't be done. Isn't it lovely to meet a Christian and say, why can't it be done? Let's sit down and see what this might look like according to the Scriptures. Why can't it be done? As opposed to all the reasons why it can't be done. Zeal, enthusiasm. Timothy, be an example of the believers in spirit. In your spirit. In your enthusiasm. In your courage for God. Don't let the conditions in Ephesus. Don't let the people that are knocking your age. Oh yes, he was being criticized. That word, let no man despise. It wasn't just a passive despising. It was an active despising of Timothy's age. Paul says, Timothy, here's the way to address it. You keep on becoming. It won't happen overnight. It's a process. It's a process. You become an example of the believers in word, conversation. And then he says, in faith, in your consistency. You know, you say, I've been doing good for the last 2 months. Well, it may not be long enough. You know, each of us have a credibility bank. Credibility bank, it's open 24/7. We're either making deposits or withdrawals to our credibility bank. Each day we live, we're making deposits to our credibility bank or withdrawals. As you seek to live your Christian life in the fear of God, in subjection to the overseers of your assembly, in accordance with the Word of God, you're making deposits in your credibility bank. But when we mess up, that's a withdrawal. Withdrawal. You know, there's some people that yearn for influence and power in the assembly. They may have age, but that's about all they have. They say, well, there was a spiritual responsibility there, and look at, I have gray hair. It should have been my turn next. You may have age, but that may be all you have. What about your past life? You have a credibility bank. Have you been making deposits in it? Since you got saved, what's the balance look like now in your credibility bank? Timothy, be consistent. In faith, go on for God. And then he says, in purity, your character, Timothy. Those are things that people can see outside, your word, your conversation, your conduct. They can see that, Timothy. But what about your purity, your own inner self, your character? Keep yourself pure. Pure morally, pure doctrinally, pure in your character. My, that's quite a list, isn't it? At least 6 things there. And Paul throws out this challenge to a young man and says, Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. You'll learn from experience, Timothy. Let no one despise or dismiss or discount your youth. Become an exemplary Christian. It starts with you. Be a learner. I talked to a man who was disciplined and put out of the assembly for sin. Young fella. And he said, the brethren did it. They did so many things wrong in processing my sin. And you know, I said, yeah, they may have done some things wrong. Some unwise things. They may have. I said, rather than you get bitter, why don't you make a note to yourself? of things, how you would like to treat people in the future as you mature as a Christian. Don't make notes about what they did or how they did it, but make notes as to how it can be done spiritually better. Keep your own soul sweet. Learn from experience. Overseers, you know, from time to time, young people do get out of, you know, I was young, I'm still relatively young, but we can be idealistic, and we can be enthusiastic, and we can be energetic. That goes with use. But rather than you knocking those things out of them, as a godly overseer, see how you can channel their idealism. They have read George Mueller. They've read about Jonathan Edwards. They have read about Elizabeth Elliot, and they have a craving desire, many of them, many of our young people, to live lives devoted to the Lord like them. You say, well, they're idealistic. You capture all that idealism as an elder and see how that can be nurtured and channeled to produce a child of God that's making an impact. Enthusiastic? Yes, they get excited about the possibilities. They always want to be busy. Why can't they stay home and read their Bibles? Well, they need to do that too. But they're not going to be spending their days and their long evenings in recliner chairs. It struck me earlier, and I'm just about finished. It struck me earlier this year. You meet a lot of young people, sisters and brethren. And you know, I don't know how you like to spend your summer vacation. Maybe you'd like to go boating. Get away to some wilderness experience with the mosquitoes and black flies. But I can't tell you how many young people I have met in the last 1 year who have asked, are there gospel meetings going on in your area this summer? Are there children's meetings going on in your area? I would like to spend my summer vacation doing something for the Lord. In fact, I just had an email from a young fella a couple of months ago, he said, I hope to come east, and I hope I can spend my summer for the Lord. I had an email from him, and he said, Dad wants me to work this summer, and he says, I have to make some money. Well, that's the other side of it, too. But you know, you say, well, we don't have enough things going on in our assembly to give someone else, everybody, some spiritual responsibilities. If you don't have something to give everyone, if everyone doesn't have a spiritual, I'm not talking about giving out hymns and worshiping on Sunday morning. That's all a part of it. But I'm talking about other responsibilities, other involvements. If your assembly doesn't have enough so that everyone is involved and having responsibilities, then your assembly isn't doing enough. Do you think of that? Just the challenges. There's a lot of people out there, and they want to be involved, and they want to participate. And they have energy, they have enthusiasm, and they want to do something for the Lord. Lifting the expectations. Excellence, Timothy, begins with you. If you're digging into your Bible for the weeknight Bible reading, then shallow responses that may have worked in the past may not work anymore because here's a young believer and they're studying their Bible. We have to study ours too now because he's asking more challenging questions. See the impact of knowing your Bible? If you are visiting the believers in your community, in your assembly, maybe others will start to think, wow, that young believer is visiting. Maybe we should be doing more of that. Leading by example. That's what Paul is talking to Timothy about. Be thou an example of the believer. If this young believer is bringing in people to the gospel meetings, and he's the only one all year that's brought in a couple of outsiders, then obviously he's doing something right, and you're doing something wrong, and I am. We need to see how that energy and enthusiasm and spiritual desire can be channeled for the things of God. Looking for excellence, don't lean on excuses. Lead by example. Don't always be pointing your finger. Lead by your own personal example in all those areas. Learn from experience
And as you live that exemplary Christian life, you'll raise the standards in your assembly.